listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio, and we have right now Michael Pregent, who is a visiting fellow at the Institute for National Strategic Studies at the National Defense University, but more importantly, who is a gentleman sitting in Erbil right now, visiting what is the front lines of the offensive to retake Mosul and push ISIS out of Iraq and hopefully Syria. Mike, thank you for taking the time to talk with us. Give us your one over the world view of what's going on there and how things are going.
Oh, thanks for having me. Well, so far, you know, it's being touted as an Iraqi military operation with allied forces. The Peshmerga are having success. The Iraqi army is having success in clearing out some of these villages. Again, a lot of them have already been depopulated. The wild card remains, what are the Shia militias going to do? We've heard just in the last couple of days from Qais Khazali, leader of Asaba Ahl al-Haq, saying that he's not asking the Iraqi government for permission. He's telling the Iraqi government the militias will be part of the Mosul offensive, that it's a revenge operation for Imam Ali, and his guys are carrying these Yah Hussein flags. So that's the wild card here. The other dynamic is the civilian population in Mosul, 1.5 million. What happens to them? Now, some of the positive reports are so far, the Iraqi military is receiving intelligence reports from these very civilians, these Sunni civilians in these villages, and they're giving them the actual locations of ISIS fighters and ISIS safe houses. That should be continued. My concern is that there's a rush to clear Mosul in the Ramadi fashion, where they simply destroy buildings that are on the path, on the route into the city center. And the benchmark is so low. This victory against ISIS so far has been, okay, let's depopulate a town, let's knock down some buildings, and let's replace the ISIS flag with an Iraqi flag and call it done. And you and I both know that's not how you do counterinsurgency.
And unfortunately, I think you kind of pointed out what the real danger is. If the Sunni civilians are cooperating now and helping identify ISIS locations, and those Shia militias come rolling in, their reward may be getting slaughtered for their help. You know, in the end, if this is allowed to happen, and like you said, I think the Shia militias, who are backed by Iran and in a lot of cases are led by Iranian IRGC and other troops, if they're running rampant, this is really going to be a World War II like flattening of a city and killing everybody in the way.
It's a big concern, and the government will say the Iraqi the Shia militias, the Iranian sponsored or backed Shia militias, are not part of the offensive. They're part of the offensive if they're in artillery range or they're in sniper range. And their plan is to be within artillery range. They're supposed to basically guard the perimeter of Mosul, meaning that as refugees pour out of Mosul, they're going to run into Shia militia checkpoints. And what we've seen in Ramadi and Fallujah is these militias will separate the military-age males, they'll put them on a truck, and they'll send them off somewhere, and then they'll take pictures with the women and children and tout it as some sort of victory, some nationalist victory. See, look, we're here to liberate the women and children. But all those military-age men, to them, are ISIS collaborators, and they go away to be questioned, tortured, in some cases executed.
Now, obviously, if they're doing that, and if they look at it, if the Shia militias look at it as a revenge mission, and the Iraqi troops go in, let's do clear it, let's do... And I kind of question the timing of this operation happening right before the U.S. election. But so what? In the end, it is the right thing to do. We do need to retake Mosul. But who's going to keep Mosul? How are they going to govern that if they have created this situation where the Sunni civilians have been poorly treated, are going to be treated worse, I think, unfortunately, in the days ahead? And then who's going to govern them?
Well, that's one of the problems with Mosul, and you could argue with West Iraq, is there's a leadership vacuum. You can't identify a Sunni leader in Iraq that hasn't already been targeted, killed, either by ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or Shia militias, or exiled by the Iraqi government. So they have a leadership vacuum. Then they also lack leverage with Baghdad. They lack leverage with the United States. So it's a big question. And I would argue, during the U.S. Occupation of Iraq, we never secured Mosul. We simply pacified Mosul. We simply did enough to discourage all-out chaos. And, you know, the Iraqi army wasn't able to secure Mosul either, with ISIS coming in 2014. Again, it was a very different Iraqi army division than the one that I was embedded with in 2005 and 2006, in that it was filled with Maliki loyalists as opposed to Sunnis and Kurds that are actually from Nineveh province that knew every neighborhood, every street, every block, and every tribal leader. So one of the biggest problems now is what happens the day after. You have the Turkish forces in the north of Mosul. You have the Shia militias. You have the Peshmerga. You have the Iraqi army. Then you have the heavily bought or infiltrated federal police, each with different missions going into Mosul. And I would argue with ISIS being third down on their priority lists, number one and two being make sure the other groups don't get as much territory as we get.
Right. And Mosul is really a place where all three of the major groups all have a dog in that fight. They all are concerned about the oil and the fact that that's a major crossroads and all the rest of it. They all want a piece of that. What is the feeling among the Kurds as far as their, I guess, forward-leaning ability to carve out their chunk?
I think the Kurds are participating in the operation more for leverage with Baghdad and leverage with the United States. They've given assurances that they're not going into Mosul. And I believe them because they really don't have any interest in going into Mosul. They're more concerned about holding on to Kirkuk. And I've been told repeatedly by Peshmerga generals, listen, we can defeat ISIS. ISIS isn't the problem. It's this 100,000 strong Shia militia organization called the Hashd al-Shaabi, led by Iranian proxy operatives like Hadi al-Amri and al-Muhandis, the leader of Kitab Hezbollah, with people like Qais Ghazali saying these things. They're worried about them because they've got their eyes on not only Mosul, but they've got their eyes on Kirkuk as well.
And Kirkuk is where the oil is. I mean, Kirkuk is the main thing that has to be hashed out. Is there a feeling among the Kurds that that is, like you said, that's where they will plant their flag, in essence, and use this as their ability to have a bargaining chip, like you said, have some leverage with the Iraqi government in the hopes then that allows them the opportunity to hold the line at Kirkuk?
I mean, Iraq is like the game of risk. If you have more troops on that on the territory than your enemy or your competitor has, then you control it. And the Kurds believe they control Kirkuk, even though Baghdad says legally you do not. The Kurds have the forces there. The Kurds took it, secured it, and made it safe after ISIS came in. So, yeah, there's that. But, again, there's encroachment. The Shia militias are in Hawija. The Shia militias are just south of Kirkuk. And they're in mass there. There are more Shia militia groups in that area than there are partaking in the Mosul offensive.
Well, and again, that shows their priority. They're willing to play and be a team player. And unfortunately, they've been, you know, one of our best allies, and we just seem never able to reward them in the way they deserve. Is this potentially, as this plays out and ISIS gets pushed, and it looks like they're on the losing side of this, is this a chance for the Kurds to consolidate? Is there any chance they're going to get anything other than a thank you, you know, and get some aid, get some military support, get the things they need to operate well out of this?
Well, it all ties back to the U.S. election and what happens and what assurances each candidate has given to the Kurds. And I haven't heard much from either candidate on what they plan to do.
Mike Pregent, in Erbil, watching events unfold on the ground. Thanks for joining us. Be safe. Up next, we'll be talking with Peter Husey, president of Geostrategic Analysis.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.